I'm really looking forward to today. Why? Because of yesterday. If you missed yesterday, where were you? Here at Intentional Living, we had a fantastic half hour. So many powerful calls from around the country, people sharing their stories about how they got on the same page or how they're wrestling with getting on the same page with their spouse about faith. And so we've decided to continue on with that topic today, which we're going to do right now. This is Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center, part of Family Life Radio around the world. And we're glad to be with you today from our center. Now, let me set the stage before we get to our first caller. I promised Tiffany she'd be first off today from Arizona. We'll get to that in a moment. One of the things that we focus on when it comes to living an intentional life is what I call high-stake relationships, developing healthy, high-stake relationships. What is a high stake? A high stake is a risky business, right? And the fact is, if you botch up these relationships, the risk is huge to your mental health, your financial, your relational health, to your spiritual well-being. And of course, the big high-stake relationships include, number one, our relationship with Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you've never given your life to Him, I mean, everything is on the table when it comes to the loss of that. And of course, here on earth, our spouse, children, parents and siblings, in-laws, co-workers, maybe in a family business. And we're picking out one of those today, and it's the marriage relationship. And there are five things that can get us stuck, get us off track when it comes into our marriage. Commitment is number one. Ineffective communication, criticism that destroys, emotional blocking. We can have defensiveness. Listen, the research is clear that criticism and defensiveness are the two top indicators of a couple getting a divorce. Plenty of research. Huge. Do you struggle with that? Poor habits, that can be addiction in your life, or social media, or how you handle money, or gambling, or personal care, and of course, unforgiveness. But number five is lack of agreement. We're talking about values. We get off track when two people in a marriage are not on the same page and can't come to an agreement about things like parenting, money. Some of you are broke today, frankly, because you and your spouse have not agreed about money. And it's been a battle. It's created all sorts of problems. Money, which should be and could be a blessing in your life, has become sort of a trap because you're not in agreement. Your values about the things in life, people, and most importantly, is our faith. And that's where we're camping today when it comes to this issue of getting on the same page and being on the same page with our faith. That's what we're talking about. All right. With that sort of a stage being set, let's get into our calls. Tiffany is first from Arizona. So, Tiffany, appreciate your call. Let me go right ahead and share. What have you learned about this whole topic of not being on the same page spiritually?
So what I've learned is to always look back at how your heart is, how your heart posture, your heart posture is towards God during the times when you and your spouse are not on the same page. A lot of times we can point the finger and we can complain, you know, to others or to God, you know, about our spouses. But at the same time, we need to look back and see, like, okay, how am I feeling? You know, what are my thoughts? Am I in a frustrated mood or am I in a loving mood? And sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, when you're in a situation with your spouse, it's hard to be loving. But at the same time, we have to always go to God and say, okay, God, I'm struggling with this, you know, and I need your help with this. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me concerning this situation, you know? So, yeah, that's always been a thing. Marriage is not always easy. It's not. There are times when things are going to happen, and it's not good, you know? Right. But at the same time, as Christians and as believers, we have to realize that, number one, God is in control. He's always in control. He knew that this was going to happen. But we need to go to Him and say, okay, God, how am I to handle this? You know, make sure my heart is right. Make sure my thoughts are right, you know, concerning the situation.
Which is powerful.
And to remain in a loving way, You know,
the Bible says
you're right. Not be the Holy Ghost. Not be the one that's always pointing the finger and saying you're wrong for this and you're doing this and this is not right. You know.
Oh yeah, most men love that, by the way.
Right.
That's what they tell me. I mean, they say I wish my wife would just badger me and beat me up and criticize me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much, right? Listen. I was referencing the fact that in Scripture, we're reminded that we're to live at peace to the extent possible. And that includes a marriage. And we can have spiritual warfare going on that's created by us. Let's be honest. We know that the Bible tells us that we wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities that are in dark places, right? That's what the Scripture teaches. But sometimes we can open that can of worms in our own marriages by lighting the fire and trying to play the Holy Spirit or be something we're not intended to be, and God never wanted us to be when it comes to our relationship. Keep in mind that our comment line is always open to you at 888-888-1717 on this topic or any topic as we talk about how to live an intentional life. What I particularly enjoy hearing are your stories. This is my intentional life story. This is what God's been doing in my life, my marriage, my family. When you take a minute, share it with us. Maybe we'll get a chance to share it with thousands of others. So take the time, share with us.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment that I hear Dr. Randy say very often that we need to be on the same page, but there are cases where people are not willing to discuss anything with anyone or even attempt to be on the same page. And I agree with him, that's what we need to do. But there are cases where I really believe it's impossible, short of God intervention. I happen to have a husband who refuses to counsel, refuses to discuss, refuses to listen to any other outside source. So, and it's heart-wrenching, it really is, because there's wisdom out there that I hear every day on programs like Dr. Randy's. And to be on the same page would be a wonderful happening in my life, but it just doesn't happen in everyone's life. Thank you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever been so wrapped up in the big picture that you completely miss out on a crucial detail? Trust me, it happens. Sometimes the key to success lies in those tiny nuances that we tend to overlook. In Dr. Randy's teaching, When Small Things Aren't So Small, you'll learn four ways you can actually achieve success by diving into those seemingly insignificant issues beneath the surface. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we have something special for you from Dr. Randy's bookshelf. Max Lucado's Outlive Your Life. You were made to make a difference. Max makes the book of Acts come alive and applies it to the 21st century. To receive this month's teaching and the book by Max Lucado, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Coming soon, the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night with Dr. Randy Carlson.
Coming to an event like this can just reset your marriage.
A lot of laughs. He is so funny.
There's so much wisdom to be learned and gained with intentional living, and that's what it is. It's choosing that intentional love when you don't feel like it.
Don't miss the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night, Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at New Beginnings Church in Albuquerque. Register now at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Yeah. I hope you do that. We're going to have a great night teaching some brand new things that God's really laid on my heart when it comes to marriage. And I think a lot of it has to do with the culture in which we're living today. The milieu of the world in which we live, we find ourselves. It's pretty dark. It's very confused. Certainly not very intentional, and certainly not intentional for Christ. And the influence on our kids, the impact in our marriages and our family can be huge. And now with the financial stress, listen, time to get centered as a Christian around what does it mean to be a follower of Christ intentionally every day in your marriage. I'm going to bring years of working with couples that I think will be encouraging to you. I'm going to teach these five things that can get us off track in our marriage and give you some one things that are possible and powerful for your marriage. We're going to laugh. We're going to learn. It'll be, you know, two and a half hours together. And as you heard, coming up November the 4th, Saturday night, Albuquerque. Looking forward to being there. Tickets have gone fast. By the way, the Gold Circle sold out, but we have general admission still available. We just started promotion this week officially on the air. So I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and you'll find the event tab there somewhere. Click on it and hope you'll get your tickets. Staying on the same page, getting on the same page in your marriage. Let me see. It looks like we've got a question coming in. No. Let's go first to this question, then I'll get to you in a moment, Joy. Hang on.
Yeah, I was calling in, getting on the same page in regarding spiritual matters, and I just wonder what Dr. Randy would have to say about a wife who tells her husband, I'm leaving you behind to follow God. The relationship fell apart, and I was just wondering what is the wife's aspect in following the husband where he believes that they should worship at. My name is Jerry. Thank you.
Hey, listen, Jerry, I hear your question, and when I get comments left on my comment line, I don't have time to question, but my guess is there's more to that story. When I hear a wife that says, I'm leaving to follow God, leaving what? What's going on? Why did she make that decision? Because I would say you don't leave to follow God because that isn't biblical. The Bible says if your unbelieving spouse is willing to be married, you're to stay. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, it doesn't mean there's not other things going on that need to be addressed. But to answer your question, Jerry, I think it's important for you to be honest with yourself. What's going on in my life? What's going on in our relationship that maybe prompted her to make that decision? Maybe it's a wrong decision. Sounds like it probably is. I don't know, but I don't know the whole rest of the story. But what's going on in your life? Because one of the things that we know about living our lives is we can only take care of what's in the 3 feet around us. It's the 3 foot rule. And so I can only be responsible for my words, my behavior, my action, my contribution or subtraction from our marriage. And so I would encourage you, Jerry, to really look at yourself, okay? See what's going on. All right. But thank you for your call. And it's just I want to camp for a moment on that. We talk about commitment as the number one issue that gets us off track. There are things that we can do to weaken that bond in a marriage that cause our spouse to start to feel the question commitment. And if we can nip these things early in the bud, as they say, if we can nip them early in terms of addressing what those issues are, we can help strengthen the commitment. But we need that strong commitment. Because when we do, we're really saying to each other, we're going to work on making this honoring to God in our relationship, whatever is facing you. There are great counselors available, pastors, groups, classes, conferences, things that you can do, books you can read that can help you to start to move in a better direction. All right. Joy, thank you for hanging on there. New Mexico caller, what's your question for me today?
I was calling because I wanted to get some advice or direction on how to deal with a spouse who used to know Christ, used to believe in Christ, but has since, as an adult, turned away from Christ and has buried himself in alcohol. And now a lot of strife in our marriage is coming from myself finding my faith and being a Christ follower now, that he thinks that I think I'm too good of a person now, or I try to act like I'm too good of a person.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing over the years, Joy, in talking with people just like yourself who have talked about this very same story. I've heard it over and over. There's something interesting where a Christian person maybe marries a person who's not a Christian or not growing, and then they come to Christ, and sometimes it creates an imbalance. It's almost as though the relationship was built on some form of inequality spiritually, and then it changes, and couples can't deal with it. And then you can further complicate it when you have the kind of thing you mentioned, if your husband's, you know, as you put it, immersing himself in alcohol. When you say he's immersing himself in alcohol, does that mean that he's an alcoholic?
Yes. He's what I refer to as a functioning alcoholic.
And what does he refer to it?
He thinks he has a problem, but he believes it's not a problem big enough where he needs to do anything about it.
Have those who love him ever confronted him with this?
Yes, we have. In fact, we have probably more so in the last 6 months. He is what I would consider a functioning alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks until he passes out, and he does so anytime he does not have to be at work.
Mm.
So if he has to work, then he won't drink. But if he's not at work and he doesn't have that work commitment, then that's pretty much all he's doing.
Yeah. Did he have a drinking problem before, or did it start? Was there something that started the drinking? Or
I would say he's always had a substance abuse problem. It wasn't always just alcohol. There was drugs involved for a short period of time. The alcohol has just gotten worse over the past few years.
Mm. Joy, listen, my heart goes out to you. As I've been here listening to your comments, my heart goes out, because I know we got listeners right now, not just you, but hundreds of people listening who are struggling with some addiction, gambling, sex addiction, alcohol, substances of all sorts. Clinics are busy. Counselors are busy. Treatment programs are making a lot of money and helping a lot of people all over the country. Because of what happens when we turn our life over and a substance or something takes over our life. And so you're dealing with, in as I see it, you're dealing with a husband who you need to pray for and help and confront to get help for himself. And of course, we believe that that's a God thing. You know, the first step in the 12-step program is admitting that I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. I'm overpowered with this, and I can't do it in my own power. What happens in our life is we try to fix things ourselves. Many of us, as men in particular, are fixers. We want to fix it. And there's certain things we can't fix without help. And God is the first step. And so continuing to pray for your husband. And of course, we got a lot of people listening, and you have a person you love that's addicted in your life, and you know you can't enable them and you can't support them. You got to hold them accountable, and that's tough sometimes. We do it because we love them, and we're not always knowing what the outcome's going to be. And so if you hear my frustration when it comes to this topic, I get frustrated because I know what these substances are doing and can do, and have seen it done even in our own extended family. And so our heart goes out to you. I wish I could give you a simple answer, Joy, but make sure you're taking care of yourself in the process, okay? Don't give up. All right, let me go to Ken here next in Arizona. What's your take on this whole thing, Ken, of getting on the same page?
Well, I was that guy who my wife prayed for me. This went on for 15 years. I mean, she was awesome, and I didn't see it. And I had people praying for me, and I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to pursue God. I didn't want to go to counseling. I was that hard-headed guy who, no, this is not what's going to help me. And we would get into arguments about it, and instead of me pretty much talking about it, I would close up and I would just yell and try and end the conversation.
Yeah.
And she pursued and helped me, tried to, for many years.
and it just didn't happen. And we finally got into an argument the one night, and I said, you know what? I want a divorce.
Wow.
And that was the worst word that I could have ever said. And immediately, I did not want that. I knew I didn't want that. And I tried to talk to her to go back the other way. I said, I'll go to counseling. I'll go to doctors. I'll take medicine. I'll do whatever it takes. And by that time, it was kind of too late. She had closed down already and kind of had to shut that off because I had been like that for so long that she had to make a choice. And she said, you know, after we had talked later about things, that she had talked to God over and over about it. Is this what you want me to do? Is this what you want? And she got the sign from him that, yes, that's what needs to be done. And as soon as that happened, I, like I said, regretted what I had said. And a friend of mine I was talking to one day, he just goes, you know, don't forget God. Don't forget to talk to God. And I was brought up a Christian and in the Christian home, but I had gotten away from it many, many years ago. And I just didn't have any reason to go back. You know what I mean? Kind of.
How's your marriage today, Ken?
Well, right now we are going in the process of a divorce. And that's what hit me. And that's what brought me back to God. We've had some a string there for a while where my mom passed away, my dad, my brother, two of my best friends, all in a real short period of time. And none of that hit me hard to where I was drawn back to God. And this divorce, as soon as I had said it, and my buddy said, you know, don't forget God, pray to God. And from that point on, like, I immersed myself into God.
Successful people are intentional about the words that they speak, the next word that comes out of their mouth. I think successful people are intentional about the next minute and how they're going to use it. I think successful people are intentional how they spend the next dollar. Very intentional. Intentional living, you know, comes down to doing the next right one thing in Christ, not perfect. I tell people, I don't care how intentional you are, you're not going to get into heaven without God's grace and mercy. It's Him. There's a lot of unintentional people that do make that intentional decision, change their life, and then they live the rest of their lives unintentionally. And I say, you live a mediocre life, God still loves you. This isn't about God loving you more because you practice intentional living. But you know what? When you choose to live an intentional life in Christ, it's a lot less miserable, less regrets, less pain throughout life. That is a fact. All right. We're talking about getting on the same page spiritually. Maybe you're not there, just like the last caller. Boy, that's a reminder. Be careful of your words. They matter. All right. We're going to go to Lori next in Arizona. Lori, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
My husband and I have been married for 20 years. We are not on the same page spiritually, unfortunately. I have prayed for him, as you can imagine, many nights over the 20 years. One of the few verses of the Bible that I remember, and I'm not even sure I'm going to get it right, Ezekiel 36, about taking away his cold and stony heart and replacing it with one of flesh and obedience. So I pray that for him a lot. My question is if we are not connecting spiritually, our communication is very poor. And when I do bring up spiritual stuff, he actually seems to pull away more. So we're not cleaving.
Let me ask you, just very candidly, if I were talking to your husband, would you think he would say to me, you know, I love my wife, but she's a little bit of a spiritual nag?
I don't know if he would call me a nag. I really try not to nag him about it. I've put myself in a place where I think somebody else needs to come in and try to guide him, because I know as wives we can get that way. I don't think he would say that much. I think he does believe that he'll never be where I'm at. I don't know if he says that because he knows himself that he's not going to pursue it anymore.
Hmm. Well, listen, you know, when you come to a relationship with your spouse, and we've said it several times, even today and yesterday, we're not the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't put ourselves in a place where we're playing the Holy Spirit or trying to be the junior Holy Spirit in the life of our spouse, or in fact, the life of anybody. That's God's work through His Holy Spirit. Our job is to be what He's called us to be, to love, to support, to share the good news, and to live our lives in such a way that people are pointed to Christ. You know, when we do that, that's a powerful thing. Hey, we love your comments. Our storyline is always open to you at 888-888-1717.
My name's Aubrey. I got married just over a year ago. As soon as I got married, I almost thought, you know, that our marriage was a mistake. Before we got married, we used to go to church together almost every Sunday. We would, you know, pray together, bless our food together. As soon as we got married, though, something drastically happened, and out of nowhere, it was like my husband wanted nothing to do with God anymore. In fact, he said to me that he didn't need prayer, and he didn't need God in his life anymore, and all this kind of stuff. It really, really took a toll on our marriage.
Mm. Boy, I'd like to hear the rest of that story, but that's what we have right there. And I think it gives me just about a minute to speak to those of you today who are not married. You're thinking about marriage. Maybe you're thinking about a remarriage. Can I encourage you as you listen today to think about the verse that says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And radio and podcasts are all about hearing. So as you've heard the stories today, when two people are not on the same page, they're not equally yoked, that's what the Bible says, the problems that will follow. And so I would encourage you, as you think about getting married, that you would carefully pray and make sure, to the extent possible, that you're really allowing the Holy Spirit to move in a relationship. Give it time. Don't rush in. Don't assume things are going to change after you get married, because generally they don't get better. Generally, whatever is a problem before marriage only gets worse afterward. And so understanding that and being intentional in making those decisions may avoid some of the calls like we've heard today. And to those of you who have been sharing your story, continue to trust the Lord and stand firm in your faith intentionally every day. I'm Dr. Randy. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Andrew, for helping out on the board today, and Stephen, our producer, and all of you who called to be a part of the show. God bless you. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about raising a responsible adult, part 2. Hope you'll join us. It'll be a great half hour here from Intentional Living.